The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
But we do have something quite exciting for you. You wouldn't often see rapper Vanilla Ice and kidnapped horse Shergar in the same sentence, right? But it turns out Vanilla Ice loves horses, and he's presenting a new podcast series telling the story of the kidnapping of Shergar. I am not making this up. It's called Sport's Strangest Crimes, and it launched last week on BBC Five Live and the BBC Sounds app. And I'm delighted now to welcome to the show Vanilla Ice himself. Vanilla Ice, how are you?
Hey, doing great. How's it going?
I'm good, thanks. Now, listen, I can't keep calling you Vanilla Ice, right? So Vanilla feels wrong. Mr. Rice isn't right. Should I call you Robert? Rob?
I prefer Rob. I mean, it's not as cool as Vanilla, but, you know, that's my name. I prefer.
Okay. Well, let's proceed with Rob. And look, if I do say Vanilla Ice now and again, we'll excuse
fine.
Me that. Okay, because that's how I primarily know you, obviously. Not as
I'll respond either way.
Okay, very good.
Person.
So do you still feel like Vanilla Ice after all these years, or is he more a character you played at one stage in your life kind of thing?
Kind of yes and no. Basically, I differentiate, the entertainment world from my real world. So basically, I tell my kids, I say, what you see out there in the public eye and everything, that's all just entertainment. It's artificial. It's not really real. And then what you see here at home, is dad. And this is the real deal. So they understand, reality.
Yeah.
And then, it's like reality and cyber world.
You know,
they're just different.
Yeah. And have you always managed to keep that delineation there yourself? Or do you think that was there a time maybe at the peak of Vanilla Ice where Vanilla Ice took over Rob a bit?
Oh, it took over a lot, actually. Yeah. Back in the day, I wrote Ice Ice Baby when I was 16. By the time I was 19, I was already multi-platinum. Millionaire and doing the Ninja Turtles movie, Secret of the Ooze.
So did you go a little bit crazy at that stage?
Things were so crazy that it never really slowed down enough for me to enjoy it or absorb it, So probably 15, 20, because it's 30 years ago, but 15, 20 years ago, I learned how to differentiate the two. And, now I do a TV show about construction where I actually film and build these big mansions here in Palm Beach. And, it keeps me busy. So I'm up at 5 a.m. every single day working. And then on the weekends, I go out and I do the I Love the 90s tour with Salt and Peppa and Naughty by Nature and Coolio and, Young MC, all the stuff you would hear at a wedding. and we enjoy the hell out of it. We actually came through England a couple of years ago, and we're planning a tour right now. We're going to go through England and Ireland.
You're coming to Ireland, are you? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Good. Coming to Ireland. I played in Ireland many times, got great fans there, and I chat back and forth with them on Instagram all the time. So they're definitely waiting for me to come out there. I can't wait. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That'll be nice for people to know. Listen, I was wondering about the I Love the 90s tour, which does sound fantastic, but I noticed that you get to headline, and then I'm looking at the other acts, and you've got, as you say, Naughty by Nature, is Coolio is in there sometimes, isn't he? CNC Music Factory. Is there a bit of tension over who gets to headline? Because they're all big acts too. Maybe they feel they should be the headliners.
Oh, hell no. There's no way. Everybody gets along. We're all great friends. We enjoy the hell out of everybody's company. I put this tour together. So, I'm the one that actually orchestrated
okay.
it, put my own money behind it to make it happen and put the groups together. And then we sold it to the package to a company called Artist Internationals or Americana. And then now they're the agents for it. So they're booking it all around, but there is absolutely zero tension whatsoever. In fact, there's zero egos. You have to understand, we all are from the 90s. We don't have time for all that animosity and all that, ridiculousness. We get along. In fact, they all come out on stage with me at the end. And also, I don't know if you've ever seen my show, but it's beyond, you know, theatrical. We have a circus, basically, that comes on stage. We have all four Ninja Turtles that come out. We have the 10-foot-tall Autobots. We have, you know, the old school DJs spinning and hydraulic lifters and pyrotechnics. We have fire going off on stage and water flying out over the audience and confetti and full band and drummers. And it's, and there must be 50 people on stage at any given time. So it's totally a circus up there. And it's like a big block party from the 90s. It's the greatest time you'll ever have at a concert in your whole life, I promise.
I have to say, it sounds fantastic. And I'm thinking, like, Naughty by Nature, so you get OPP and Coolio, you get Gangster's Paradise, you add a whole line, and of course, Ice Ice Baby. Listen,
and the Ninja Rap.
And the Ninja Rap. Never forget the Ninja Rap. Of course, they were good times, the 90s, weren't they? Little did we know, in ways, were they the best times? Did everything go downhill after then, do you think, Rob?
Well, you know, it's all in how you look at it. And I do kind of look at it in that way because, you know, since 2000 to 2021, what has really happened in pop culture? The last of the great decades was 1990s. Think about it. What happened is computers came out for home use. And, you know, that changed the world as far as pop culture goes. So basically, we are the last living generation that will ever remember what it's like to live without computers. And it was a better time, my friend. Yes, we got our movies at Blockbuster. We had to go out of the house and get DVDs and load them up. We wore some ridiculous clothes, which was awesome. We loved being cheesy and neon colors and high tops. And another great thing about, you know, the 90s was we danced a lot. And we didn't dance like these Fortnite kids, you know?
Yeah.
These kids are stuck at home now playing Fortnite and all these video games, and they don't even want to leave the house today. Our generation got in trouble for not coming home on time. You remember?
Yeah.
Because we were always out in the streets playing or jumping our bicycles or skateboards. You know, it was just, that's what we did.
And this generation, Rob, we can't get them out of the bedroom.
You can't get them out of the bedroom. I know it's ridiculous. These video games and computers, and they just look at a screen all day long. They're stuck in cyber world. We were the last generation to know what it was like to live in reality. So, you know, pop culture, if you remember back in the 80s and 90s, you had groups of people that were based off of what type of music they listened to.
Yeah.
So you had, you know, the punk rock crowd. And they all had the mohawks and the black leather jackets and the big boots. You remember?
Uh-huh.
Sid Vicious, Sex Pistols, you know, and the Ramones. So that group. And then you had your spandex hair heavy metal band guys, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then you had your rap guys, the hip-hop guys. And there were so many different groups of, you know, pop culture. And they're gone. You know, pop culture ties into fashion and music. That's what pop culture is. It's when you see the musicians making such an impact that people start dressing like them. Like when I was, you know, coming up in the early 90s, everybody was shaving a couple lines in their hair or maybe their eyebrow.
Yeah, tram lines, we call them in Ireland. Were they called tram lines over there?
We just call zigzags.
Okay,
Zigzag hairdo. And, you know, so the fashion and the pants, instead of wearing the really tight pants. But if you notice, everything has come full circle fashion wise. Like everybody's wearing the tight pants again now. They're wearing the high tops and they can't come out with anything cooler than the 90s. So they've got 21 years without any fashion or pop culture and zero fashion influence.
And they've had to go back.
If you go out today, all you see is the same stuff we wore in the 90s.
Yeah, they've had to go back to the 90s. Yeah, absolutely.
Air Jordan, they can't come up with a new sneaker. Air Jordan outsells every sneaker 10 to 1. And then you have the Air Force One sneaker. That was done in the 90s too. They can't come out with a new shoe that outsells anything from the 90s. the neon colors, the funny clothes, everything is full circle right now.
Rob, I feel I should argue with you on a few points here, but you know what? I'm not going to diss Vanilla Ice live on air, but wow, you are, you know what you are? You're like a philosopher of the 90s. You're like an ambassador from the 90s come to remind us that they were the best times. But you know what? We should talk a little bit about your podcast and about Shergar. So I suppose the obvious question here is, why are you presenting a podcast about the disappearance of Shergar?
Well, my fascination with horses is very deep. I since I was a kid, I've always been fascinated with just the look of a horse. Like, you know, looking out across the field, the tranquility of it and seeing a horse there is just beautiful. It's something to look at with the pastures and everything. You know, same reason people just stare at the ocean. It's just a body of water, but it does something to you. It makes you feel some type of way. And, you know, I've watched all the movies 10 times a piece, easy, from, you know, Secretariat to, you know, Seabiscuit, all these movies. I've been to War Horse in London, the play. I've been to I went and saw it again here in New York City. I saw it once in Canada. So, I mean, I'm loving the stories of the horses. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no story out there that even compares to the Shergar story, because it's so deep that the minute you start absorbing what actually really happened, and to know this is a true story, you know, it sounds like something that could have been made up in Hollywood. It's so fascinating that this story just intrigues you. It's like a really good book. You can't set it down. Once you start the story, you start asking questions. Well, what happened? Well, what happened next? Oh my God. Northern and Southern Ireland were fighting in this war, and how did this damn horse become, you know, part of this whole thing? It made no sense. And then, you know, obviously the sperm is worth a lot of money. So they breed these horses and stuff. So, all the trainers and everything were putting up ransom, big money ransom to get this horse back. And, you know, and all the kidnappers were sending ransom notes and stuff. I mean, this is just the most amazing story ever.
Yeah. Now, knowing what you know now about the Shergar story, do you think his remains will ever be found and the mystery will ever be ultimately solved?
I really, it's a 50-50 toss-up, and that's the big mystery of the whole thing, is that he was never found. And it also makes you wonder, you know, because this horse was very pampered, you know, living in, you know, really nice stables, better than a lot of humans live, you know, and, you know, brushed every day and fed and trained and just, you know, a super horse. And it makes you wonder that when he was, you know, kidnapped, did they take care of him? Did they just let him run around?
It sounds like something bad happened very soon after the kidnapping, doesn't it? That these guys didn't know how to look after a horse of this caliber. Rob, tell me, are you going to do more podcasts after this, do you think? Has this given you a taste for maybe horse-based mystery? Mysteries or mysteries in general?
Yes, I love mysteries. This was my first time to do this like this, narrate a whole story. And I loved it because I was, you know, getting more and more involved in the details as I was going along too. And I would sometimes just stop from the script and go, well, wait a minute, what happened here? You know, and I just kept asking questions because it magnetizes you. This horse is an amazing super horse on one thing, but the story behind it, like I said, is just so fascinating. I mean, it needs to be a Hollywood movie. I mean, a big one too. Like, yeah, and if it's been done, it needs to be redone. So
I think there have been movies, but not a big Hollywood blockbuster maybe.
Yeah. This thing needs to be a big Hollywood blockbuster. This needs to be, you know, top stars and top producers, and, you know, Spielberg needs to come on and do this one, because this is definitely up there and more of a fascinating story than some of the greatest horse movies ever. Seabiscuit, love it. Great movie. True story. The story of Secretariat, true, you know, loved it. Great stories. But look at the Shergar story and look at those stories. Oh my God, it would be the most amazing blockbuster movie ever.
Rob, can I ask you a question before you go?
Yeah.
Is it true that when Ice Ice Baby was first just starting to become a hit, that Suge Knight, who would subsequently set up Death Row Records, started appearing in various places you were and threatening you, and eventually made you sign over the publishing for Ice Ice Baby to him, and that's where he got the money to set up Death Row Records?
60-40. Everything you said was about 60% true.
Okay.
Except the fact that he was, you said that he was threatening me. He never threatened me. He made it very clear, and I understood it. You know, there was no threats. He was actually nice to me.
Okay. And what was his line of argument?
No arguments or anything like this ever took place. No hanging over a balcony. This is the media polishing up the story. They take a little bit of truth and they stretch it. Now, he did take me to a balcony. He was in my room when I checked in, and he explained it to me very nicely. And he said, listen, you're joining a fraternity here. This is a great thing for you, Ice. He goes, you're joining the groups of some of the most legendary hip hop artists of all time. And you're going to be in our fraternity with us. And, you know, with the investment of the money that I gave them, you know, I signed it. You know, he had Eddie Murphy on there. He had Eazy-E and N.W.A. on there. He had, and nobody knew of, I knew Tupac, but nobody publicly knew Tupac yet because he hadn't done anything big at that point. Nobody had heard of the Chronic record at that point because N.W.A. was kind of still broken up and nobody really, Dr. Dre didn't release much on that. So I invested in some of the greatest hip hop music ever, being Tupac and the Chronic record. So basically Suge Knight took the money that he made off of me and invested it into them. So I look at it like, you know, I invested in some of the greatest hip hop music of all time.
I like
it. And you have to understand that I've made great investments. So I've never been upset about it. I've never been anything, but I answer to the stories that the press puts out there and stuff, you know, cause I guess it's fascinating, but yeah.
Rob,
a little bit of truth there, but okay. Yeah, you know, now you know the full detail.
Thank you very much. Rob Vanilla Ice, can I say you have an amazing attitude to life? I really I love you. Like, you have to bring that show to Ireland soon. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you. And the first episode of that podcast was released on Thursday, the 3rd of June on BBC Sounds, and subsequent episodes will be released every Thursday. Rob Vanilla Ice, absolute legend. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Good chatting with you, my
okay,
friend.
Okay, talk to you again, I hope.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
Email brendan@rte.ie.